This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdal. President Obama arrived in Berlin today, his last trip through Europe before he leaves office. In his public remarks, the president, while pointing out how he and his successor differ, the president has been trying to reassure European allies that in spite of what President-elect Trump said about NATO during the campaign, the United States is still in that alliance for the long haul, as it has been through administrations both Democratic and Republican for 70-something years. And that might be true, but there is still that oh-so-thorny question of who's going to pick up the tab. From London Marketplace's Stephen Beard has that one.
The coincidence was almost eerie. Just as Britain was marking Armistice Day, commemorating the dead from two world wars, the reality of Trump's victory was sinking in, and the UK was fretting about what the candidate had said during the campaign about the defence of Europe.
Our allies are not paying their fair share. The countries we are defending must pay for the cost of this defense. And if not, the U.S. must be prepared to let these countries defend themselves.
Trump called the NATO alliance obsolete, alarming some luminaries of the British defense establishment.
People will now doubt whether America really is committed to the guarantees that it signed up to solemnly 60 or 70 years ago.
That's former National Security Advisor Lord Peter Ricketts. Nevertheless, many defence experts agree with Trump's central criticism of NATO. Independent analyst Howard Wealdon says the US bears far too much of the financial burden of the alliance.
America has been paying over 70% of NATO's costs since it was founded in April 1949. That is no longer acceptable. Europe has to pay more of its own security bill.
And he says some European countries should pay up more than others. Only the UK and Estonia hit the NATO target of spending 2% of their GDP on defence. The rest fall woefully short, says Ben Moores of IHS Market.
There's a few countries, like big hitting countries like Germany doing 1.1, Italy doing 1.3, Spain even lower. So there is a gap.
Defence spending, who needs it? European borders are unassailable, aren't they? January 1991, the small Baltic nation of Lithuania had declared independence from the Soviet Union. Soviet forces invade. Eventually, the troops withdrew, the Soviet Union collapsed, Lithuania and the other Baltic states joined the European Union and NATO. But Russian nationalists still dream of reclaiming this and other parts of the Soviet Empire. Hardly surprising that after Putin grabbed the Crimea, there is now talk of Europe beefing up its defences. Ironically, says Ben Moores, the main beneficiary could be Europe's most reluctant military power, Germany.
If it was going to be land forces modernization, where the bulk of the money would go, the bulk of the money would go to Germany, because Germany has been the only large European country to retain a modernized and diverse vehicle manufacturing capability. So you'd be looking at armored vehicles, trucks, tanks.
No one can yet say for sure whether President Trump will turn his back on NATO and leave Europe to its own devices. But Andrew Roberts of the King's College Department of War Studies thinks we can say one thing for sure.
I do think that he is going to put a lot of pressure on NATO to just cough up.
A possible European military spending spree in the offing. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.